a text message comes in to our text club at 35270 that says, Mike, conservation bill is dead on arrival. You know, and we'll see. I think it's going to be, a pretty interesting debate over the next few months. There's very, very big interest. I've heard a lot of passion from the hunters and fishers. I've heard a lot of passion from the business community, and what I think to be an inconsistent concern on, state needs and state spending. So we will see how that all plays out. But with us now is Brad Crabtree, who is the policy director at the Great Plains Institute. And Brad had hosted a panel out in Bismarck today to discuss the very fund that we were just discussing at the top of the hour, the Legacy Fund. And with that, I want to welcome Brad to the program. Brad, how are you?
I'm great, Tyler. Good to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, this, as I was alluding to earlier before you're on, is a very important conversation to be having. You know, people might look at the 2017 date and think, okay, well, that's a little ways out. But in reality, it's really not when it comes to legislative terms and setting priorities. So what I want to talk about today with you, Brad, is, how'd this panel get started? You know, who was involved, and what was the topics discussed today?
Sure. Well, actually, interestingly enough, the origins of this go back to Norway. And a year ago, we organized a delegation of North Dakota leaders to go to Norway and look at Norway's experience with oil and gas development. And one big part of that is that they have been a real leader internationally in setting aside resources from oil and gas development and saving them for the future for the Norwegian people. And so they have this very large sovereign wealth fund, about $750 million. And we got a briefing, this group of North Dakotans, we got a briefing from managers of that sovereign wealth fund. And after that, the group had a discussion, and we realized that we needed to take a proactive look at our oil and gas legacy fund. One of the things the Norwegians said is, don't wait till there's billions and billions and billions of dollars in the fund to think about what the purposes are, what you want the fund to accomplish. Be proactive and think ahead. And so that was really the spark for this group that met today in Bismarck.
Sure, sure. And Brad, I'm sorry, did you say that has $750 million in Norway?
Yeah, actually, I think it's $800 billion now. And to put that in perspective, Norway has about 5 million people. I think the per capita amount is somewhere over $150,000 per Norwegian has been invested in the fund today.
Wow. So we took this trip to Norway, and we brought it home because, we face a lot of the same, challenges. We face a lot of the same opportunities. And I'm curious, how did the conversation go today? Who was around the table talking about the future of the Legacy Fund here in North Dakota?
Well, our task was to really bring together a group of North Dakota leaders that represent all of North Dakota. So we had leaders in the business community, in the energy industry, in state and local government, human services, folks from farming and ranching. We had representatives of tribal education and Native American communities, folks that represent the conservation and environmental community. You think about kind of all the important perspectives in our public life in North Dakota, and we tried to have them represented at the table today. And that was something else we heard from the Norwegians, is if you need to have a broad consensus in society about the purposes of the fund. What are you saving this money for? What do you want to accomplish, and have the public really support that?
Sure. And it sounds like a very diverse group. That's very encouraging. I'm curious, was there a certain agreement? I mean, what was the discussion today? Was it just, okay, was this the initial conversation that we want to come together, that we want to plan for the future? Or was it, hey, here's some ideas? Where are we at in this process when it comes to this panel?
Well, the people who came have agreed to participate in a project. I mean, they're going to meet a number of times and develop recommendations. And so what we did today, obviously, it was a starting conversation. First thing we did is we took a bit of a first look at what Norway's experience was, but also got some information about there are different states that have gotten a lot of revenue from oil and gas and energy over the years that have established resource funds, Alaska, Wyoming, New Mexico, Texas. And so we started to take a look at those funds. We also had Pam Sharp, the director of the Office of Management and Budget. She was kind enough to come in and give everybody a presentation on the status of the legacy fund today. It's at $1.5 billion, and a conservative projection is that it will reach, at the end of the biennium, $3 billion. And then you mentioned the date 2017, Tyler, when the monies first become available to the legislature, and it's projected to be $6 billion roughly by then, maybe more. And so we got some of that perspective on where the fund's at. And one of the things the group agreed to do is they want to do a deeper dive and learn more about the experience of some of these other states. There's no point in, you know, we need to learn from the lessons that others have had from their own experience with these funds. What have they done that they felt worked well? What didn't work well? If they were going to do it over starting today, what would they advise North Dakotans? Those kinds of questions. So that was a big part of the discussion. Then again, we also spent some time, we asked people to think about, you know, what their vision is for the future of North Dakota and how the Legacy Fund might contribute to that.
Sure.
And that was a very interesting discussion as well.
Well, yeah, and I need to correct myself from earlier. I had made the mistake. I thought that when 2017 rolled around that it would be $3 billion at that point, not at the end of this biennium. That it's doubled since then, huh? And that came from the Office of Management and Budget. Budget? Jeez, well, if I could spit that one out today.
Yeah, and again, I don't know that there's an official projection. This was based on the numbers that the revenue that's flowing in from oil and gas is, of course, based on the barrels of oil produced and then the revenue that's received. That relies on projections the state makes for daily production. Also, the oil price matters a lot, and those are both unknowns in the future, and the state, as a matter of approach, they tend to be conservative in those projections. So the chances are, if oil prices stay high and production continues to grow as it has been growing, these numbers I just shared with you will probably be larger, but we don't know that.
Sure, so, and that tends, yep. It seems to be the case, you know, at the end of the session, or during the session, we were given one projection, and then, you know, towards the end of the session, the Office of Management and Budget came out with something that was nearly three times as high. So, you know, if historically our trend has been to be very, very conservative when it comes to our projections, which, you know, isn't necessarily a bad thing, but, you know, if that's the case, we can potentially be looking at a fund greater than $6 billion by the year 2017.
That's correct. And, you know, if the tax treatment of the oil industry remains unchanged, and there's a lot of folks that have views on what the future level of taxation of the oil industry should be, it's hard to know what technologies will continue to become available that will increase production in the Bakken. But we know technology is changing very fast in unconventional oil and gas like in the Bakken. All these things are variables, and so I think one of the things the group wants to do at their next meeting is to try to put some bounds on what this fund might look like down the road, how big it could be, what could be its potential contribution to the people of North Dakota in the future, and have some start to make some realistic assumptions about that, probably erring on the side of conservative like the state does with its own projections.
Sure, and you know, Brad, you know, we had some leaders around this table today, and I'm curious if there's going to be an effort to hear from the people of the state. Are there going to be any meetings held for, you know, just the person that owns, you know, the Main Street Cafe in Leeds, North Dakota, to get out and voice what they would consider an appropriate use for the Legacy Fund when we are able to access those funds?
Absolutely. I'm actually really glad you asked that question because we spent a fair amount of time on that. So we have this group of, you know, people, real leaders in North Dakota, again, from all perspectives, a lot of great experience at the table. But sometime next year, you know, probably towards spring, we're going to go out into communities, and they're going to be communities that represent the diversity of North Dakota. So urban, rural, east, west, in the oil patch, outside the oil patch, we'll do at least one meeting in a tribal community. And we're going to give citizens the opportunity to talk about their vision for the future of North Dakota and how they think the Legacy Fund might contribute. And the other thing we'll do is we'll take the recommendations from this group at an early stage and start to share them with citizens in communities. Like you said, the Main Street shop owner or the school teacher or you know, whoever in the community and give them a chance to weigh in. And we're actually going to have the participants in our project join us for those meetings so they can listen to the citizens directly. So I'm personally very excited about that. That's going to be a really important part of this project.
And I agree. I think getting as much input from as a diverse of a group as possible in this state is, very important, because, we all have our own opinions, and too often we allow only 80 days to make very important decisions. So I'm glad you're getting out ahead of this. I'm excited to see where this panel goes. And Brad, I want to thank you for joining me on the Mike McFeely Show today, and have a good weekend.
Thanks, Tyler. Appreciate you taking the time to have me on, and you take care.
Yeah, you too, Brad. Thanks so much.